Full confession, I didn't know what to do. My wife got up from her seat. Clearly, I thought she was coming to give me a big kiss and embrace me and be like, honey, you got this. She just kind of passed me by, said hi, and walked out the door. So I don't know how your relationship works, but that's how mine's working. So, hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm glad that you're here. Maybe you're new to Bethany. We are one church that meets at multiple locations. If you're trying to figure out this three campus thing, we have a campus that meets at Princeton and Vincennes. We have folks right now that are just right down the hall here in our fireside room, and a lot of people who are watching us online, of course, all of you in this room, and we make up Bethany Christian Church, and I'm glad that you're here. It's not always easy walking into a building for the first time, especially a church like this, and this is the right place for you, as nerve-wracking as it might have been. And I'm grateful, and I hope you find some peace as we talk about the Christmas story today. There's not going to be new things for you. We're not going to pull the rug out from under you. I want to, but I just know that's not the right thing to do. Like, it's the temptation of the pastor, okay? I've been preaching this thing for 23 years. Luke chapter 2, to try to find you something new and fresh. But guess what? New and fresh is found right in the scriptures here today. Because I think that so many of us, we've taken our eyes off of the real meaning of what this is all about. We have a lot of things that we celebrate, but in the celebration, we just kind of miss the Christ of Christmas, and I know we don't intend to. So I just want to wade into the waters of Christmas today, the true meaning of Christmas, and get into Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible with you, Luke 2. If you don't, there's one in the chair rack in front of you. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20. But here's what I want to do, just to kind of get us a little bit in the gear of what is being said and how it was being understood in the times. This is a great video that Dr. David Jeremiah had put together. It's the reading of Luke 2. It's dramatized. I want us to watch and to listen the reading of Luke 1 through 20 together.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them.
So my real hope for you this Christmas is that that story, which is known, never gets old. And that you can just use that as that memory peg to be reminded of what this sermon and what this series and what this season is all about. Because sometimes the truth is the Christmas season just gets kind of overcomplicated. We do it to ourselves. Like, listen, I'm guilty. You're probably guilty as well. Like, we fill our Christmas holidays up with all kinds of get-togethers and recitals and musicals and travel plans and booking flights and making sure we have the right hotel or rental car. And then we have like special meals and get-togethers with family. We decorate our house and put up the tree and try to get everything just right. And then we march around the aisles of maybe some kind of shopping center or store to get the right gift for the right someone. If we can't find it there, we immediately go online. And if we can't track it down there, and then we just, you know, it's in the Lord's hands now, I guess. I don't know. And then you come home, and if you're a young family and you got young kids, then you like you think you got some rest, you think you got some relaxation. The kids are in bed, and you're like, whew, then you just kind of remember, oh yeah, we have to reposition the elf on the shelf, and like nightmare situation, right? And then like as believers, you want to secure your heart around this season, and so you want to have some, you know, bless other people. You want to get connected to the spirit of Christmas, so you get involved like Jubilee Christmas or maybe some great event that's happening in our community that's a Christ cause, and you just want to be able to be generous towards someone in the name of Jesus. And all these things, while they might even be good and with good intentions, they all add up to a very busy schedule. And what happens is in the busyness of Christmas, we lose the Christ of Christmas, and it just becomes overcomplicated far more than anything that it was originally meant to be. And just so you know, God did not come up with Christmas. He didn't say celebrate it like this. It just kind of became man's intention to just remember the light of Christ in our darkened world. So today, listen, there's no agenda except for you to rest, except for you to rehear and be reminded of the simple story of Christmas. Now, last week, Noah preached a great sermon. Like, it just had my mind going. He's a great communicator. And I love that he pointed out in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 2, the story of the Magi and the star in the sky and how they recognize the Old Testament prophecies. And I don't want to re-preach his sermon. But they came in and they went to Jerusalem and they said, tell us about the one who's been born king of the Jews. And you remember who they asked that to? They asked that to the king of the Jews, tongue in cheek, but also to religious scholars. Preachers, teachers, people who should know the scriptures. And what's so interesting is that Jesus was born 6 miles away from Jerusalem, and not a single one of those characters ever went to go see Jesus. They didn't recognize the star. It had me wondering in that moment, thank you, Noah, for ruining my Christmas, but it had me wondering in that moment, have I missed the reason and the meaning for Christmas? As someone that's connected to Christ, has these spiritual rhythms and disciplines, do I only know the scriptures, but I don't know the Savior? Do I know the message, but I don't know the one who is the maker of the message? Do I know just the words, but I don't know the author? Because, I mean, in that story, there's a bunch of people who are informed, but they're not transformed. Okay, they're not transformed. And so it wasn't their heart's desire to get back to Jesus. It wasn't their heart's desire to find the Christ. And so they were satisfied with their knowledge. They were satisfied with their placement. They felt good about themselves, and they were like heretics, and they were religious elites, and they had their nose up in the air, and they left Christ in the manger, and they never once went to go visit him ever again. And it's interesting to me. I thought about it. Friends, the oxen and the donkeys knew more about the Savior's birth than the religious leaders. And I don't want to be one of those religious leaders. And I don't want you to be one of those Christians that you get so fulfilled with yourself and think, yeah, we got this season all squared away, that you just forget, you forget Christ, and you forget that he is the celebration of light into our darkness. And my question to you, penetrating question, could be a guilty question, how have you been keeping Christ shining brightly in your Christmas? Let me put it to you like this. What preparations have you made or have you been making to focus on Christ this Christmas? What have you been doing to keep Christ central? Like, you're going, listen, man, I'm busy. Like, I know, we're all busy, okay? Please don't start using busy as a badge of honor. That doesn't win with me. We're all busy. We all have 24 hours in the day. It's just a matter of how you use those hours, right? Some of us are guilty saying we haven't used them the best. We haven't really prioritized Christ. I get that. But they've always been busy. I mean, how does the narrative start out? There was a census, right? There was a census. It started that way. Started in a busy time, people being displaced. They didn't want to have to travel. They didn't want to have to be displaced. They're being forced by their government to go get their heads counted in the city of lineage that they were born in. So David has to take his wife and his pregnant wife, mind you, on the back of a donkey. Sounds fun, ladies, right? Sounds a lot of fun. all the way to Bethlehem so that they can register there. And Bethlehem is swollen. This little village, sleepy little village, is swollen with thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps people. People are living outside, camping outside. There's no more room left. Mary and Joseph must have arrived late, or they must not have had family around, to say the least. And so there's revelry in the town, but no one is paying attention to the manger scene, right? They've all missed the moment of the manger. And it's so interesting to me that they missed that moment where the star was above and shining its brightest. And they just missed out on it. A few weeks ago, I had a family walk in during midweek in the evening when I was standing around, and I said, and they were just happy and they were giddy. And I was like, what are you guys so happy about? And they were celebrating the fact that they had just finished up their Christmas shopping in October. Huh? I don't even know. I'm not even thinking Christmas in October. Are you? Come on. I was a little jealous, a little envious. I'm like, come on, man. My Christmas, I'm just thinking about it like Wednesday I'll start thinking about it. How about that? Right? Okay, if that tells you anything about my life. And they were just so excited that they were done. And then I got jealous, and I'm like, I wish I was done. I wish I had it all figured out. I know it's coming. Like, is it just, you always like, Christmas sneaks up on me. It's there every year. I don't know how it does. And yet, we just wait till the last minute. And it's like, listen, I'm a part of that problem, and I'm depleted by the time it comes in some sense. And I don't know how you're going to recapture and focus this Christmas, but I'm just asking you, like, have you done it? Have you set some time aside? You got 8 days. You got 8 days to try it, to make Christ central to your Christmas. This Christmas, here's what I'm asking you to do. That this Christmas, just make some moments to recapture the excitement of the season. Like, there's tons of excitement, right? I'm not talking about the kids. I'm not talking about the grandkids. Like, if you just get back into Luke 2, the shepherds are clearly excited. They're willing to walk away from their job. They're willing to walk away from a lineage of being heroes of biblical heroics. I mean, shepherds were just men of renown. It was a hero's job. It was a job that was in the lineage of kings of Israel. I mean, David was a shepherd. These guys wore this with a badge of honor to protect the sheep from bear and lion and wolf and anything that would come to ruin the flock. Look at Luke 2 on the screen, verses 9 through 11. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. He didn't come to the revelry that was in Bethlehem. He went to the outskirts of society, to where the shepherds were alone. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord showed around them. This is the Shekinah glory of the Lord that kind of surrounds them. And they're terrified, right? Because that's what happens when you see an angel. You're terrified by this heavenly being that's now here on earth. And the angel says to them, don't be afraid. And I love this linking of words. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Friends, can I tell you something? The good news, which is the gospel, that is that God has come from heaven to earth to rescue people like you and me in our sin, that should create within people great joy. And if you're telling people the gospel and it's not creating great joy in them, you're not doing it right, okay? It's not to be a message where people are like, woe is me. It's a message of great joy for people. And the angels come out, these great messengers with the good news, and they tell people that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah. This is the one they've been waiting on. He's the Lord. And what the shepherds thought was just going to be a normal night for them, they're awakened, or they're at least shaken by the fact that the angels have come. And many of us would say they gave to the shepherds a birth announcement. But from their perspective, it is not a birth announcement. It's an announcement that all their trying and all their hard work of trying to get back to God is finally over. Do you know that feeling of trying to get back to God? That feeling of, will God finally love me if? They had that feeling continually. That feeling of, am I doing enough? Have I done enough? Because their whole idea of getting to God was this constant behavior of doing something so that they could appease God. And they hear this birth announcement, and it's not like a baby's been born. It is a Savior has come to rescue us. Luke 2, verse 15 and 16 says that when the angel had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, like they had a conversation, a little powwow, a little business meeting, let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And here's what's just unbelievable about this story. Shepherds don't leave their sheep. It just doesn't happen. That's not what they do. That's not what they're known for, especially those in the city of David, where they are known for being mighty shepherds, good shepherds. There's this whole lineage of being prideful of your occupation and job, especially in the town of David, where the chief shepherd had come from. And because they're so mesmerized, amazed by the exciting good news of Jesus, the Messiah, not just a birth announcement, but a Savior, they leave everything behind. And in some ways, symbolism here, the shepherds represent people like you and me, sinners who are in search of a Savior. Because if this is just a birth announcement, good job, way to go, Mary, we're happy for you, here's some diapers, right? But if this is a Savior that's come to rescue us from our sins and restore us back to the relationship that God always wanted to with us all the way back to Adam and Eve, then friends, this is a big moment that is worthy of leaving everything behind. And just as sinners leave behind their past, leave behind their sins, leave behind what's held them back from Christ, they come running to Mary and Joseph to see the Messiah, the one that God had promised them about. And listen, there is so much excitement in this story. I don't want you to miss it. And actually, I hope that that kind of excitement lands on you this Christmas. And I know some of you, it's not that you're a Scrooge. It's not that you're a humbug. You just can't find it right now. You can't find it. Friend, I get it, okay? I'm there with you. There's going to be 3 empty chairs around our table this year. And my wife and I, these are 3 dear people whom we absolutely love, and they are not there. They are not there this year. Now listen, we recognize absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. That's huge hope. But dude, this last year has been so striking to us when it's come to grief of people whom we love. And we're just going to recount that they're dearly missed. And I know that you're thinking the same way. You're thinking, listen, this just hasn't been a good year, and there's not a lot to be excited about. And I'm not asking you, like, to pull up your bootstraps and, you know, just let's be adults here and let's just have fun. No. I'm just saying that with those empty chairs at that table, I recognize that Christ is still in the room. And can I just tell you, anywhere where Christ is, there's reason to celebrate. There's reason for hope and not despair. There's reason for joy rather than humdrum. And those shepherds had so many reasons to get excited about, but they probably had 1,000 reasons not to go to Bethlehem. Could you imagine? They're probably like, let's not leave the sheep behind. That's not what we do. They're like, no, this is too important to do that. That's why they had a conversation amongst each other. You do it, and I'll do it. We'll all do it together. We'll hold hands and run to Bethlehem. And I hope just something about this Christmas can be a welcome diversion for you if you just can't find the celebration, if you can't find the excitement. Because I certainly don't want... I don't want the holy to become humdrum in your life. Not just was there excitement, but this Christmas, I hope you find some ways to restore the true purpose of the season. Like, you just don't miss it. You don't overrun it. You don't wait till just the 25th to celebrate it. But when the birth of Jesus was announced to the shepherds, the angel's message was so clear. Luke 2, verse 11 and 14, the angels heralded, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you." So God accompanies a message with authority, a message with power. And so there's going to be a sign so that what the angels are saying can be found true, some physical evidence. And so they say, "You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts. So now the choir arrives. I love this. Like, God's like, bring in the choir. And they all show up. And the heavenly hosts appear with the angels, praising God and saying, now, this had been an absolutely magnificent roar of a phrase. And I know that there's going to be some meek and mild people today that are hearing me as I say, let's say this together, and you're going to give me your little mouse voice. That's fine. But let's do our best to create a heavenly choir together and just say the words of the angel choir. Are you ready? "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, before we go any further, the purpose of Christmas is that God created his creation, you and I. And we have ruined some things. And the thing we ruined most is our relationship with God. And God said, "I want that relationship back." And you can tell me 100,000 times, "I don't want you." God says, "I still want you." 1 John tells us, God first loved us. And some of you don't know where God stands in your life. You're like, "I don't know. God must be angry at me. God must be upset at me." There's nowhere in the scriptures you're going to find that. You're going to find actually God telling you his heart for you before you ever had a heart for him. He loved you. And he set his mercy and grace on you. He set his favor upon you. And he's giving you this day as a day of grace so you can leave behind your religious obligations, all your to-do things that you think you have to do to get God to like you. And you can just rest in receiving the greatest gift of Jesus Christ today. And you can hold on to him with faith. That is complete dependency on Jesus for your salvation. Not in yourself, not in your works, not in your good deeds, not in your memorization of scripture, not in your attendance of church, not if or you did or didn't or do, but only in the one who has done it, Jesus Christ. And friends, this was a big moment for the world. And some of us have lost the idea of what this season is all about, what the purpose is all about. And this Christmas, God came down from the heavens to the earth so that we might have Jesus as a Savior over our sins. And this Christmas, I hope you can find some way that you can restore the purpose of Christmas. One way you can do that is to recognize that the gospel and generosity are like this. They're just married together. If you want to simplify the gospel, John chapter 3, verse 16, and then even whittle that down even greater, you could just simply say the gospel is that God gave or God gives. And the gospel and generosity go hand in hand. For God so loved that he gave his one and only son. And I don't know, this year, maybe somehow you want to get back to those real reasons of Christmas, of giving, and accompany gifts with the gospel. Accompany the kindness cards that we handed out 3 weeks ago with the gospel message to a mailman or a neighbor or a friend or coworker, and tell them about the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Not just information, but transformation. How has God changed you? Maybe you just start giving to someone who is in need, as God has given to us who are in need of a Savior. Hey, maybe you just start prioritizing worship a little bit greater. You know, we have 14 Christmas Eve services across three campuses. 14. 8 here at Washington. I know some of you are like, well, I just can't make it. What can you not make about 8 services over 3 days? I don't know. I am always shocked, though, when people walk into Christmas Eve. We always have thousands of people come in. It's just this campus alone. When people walk in and say, you know what? We didn't intend to come tonight, but we did. That boggles my mind a little bit. That most people do not attend because they have planned for it. They just kind of like, well, we had nothing better to do tonight, so I guess we'll come to Christmas Eve. That might be you, like, because you know your family Christmases are filled up with people who are not filled with faith. You know what I'm talking about? And it's not their tradition to do what you do. And so it's a little awkward, I understand, right? Like, especially for some of you who are new to this and your family doesn't know your behaviors around Christmas or know the desires of your heart, just to stand up and say, hey, I'm all for this gift stuff, and I'm all for the fun stuff, and I'm all for the food stuff especially, but man, I need some faith stuff. And some of you are just going to be bold and courageous this Christmas just to say, as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do today. We're just going to make a time to go, and here's what I always know, because this is what I know about crowds. This is what I know about crowds. It just takes one to make the right choice for the rest to make the right choice. And maybe the behavior of your Christmas, the tradition of your Christmas changes and could change your family around you, and just prioritizing a Christmas Eve service and saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to push pause for an hour and a half. We can come back to this, but we're going to just make sure that we are centered on the purpose of Christmas. It almost sounds too easy, doesn't it? This Christmas, let's find some ways to restore that purpose again. But this Christmas, let's search for opportunities to share the reason for the season. The shepherds visited Mary and Joseph. Here's what it says in verse 17 of Luke 2. It says, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. They couldn't keep silent. They had to go talk about it. They had to go proclaim the good news of Jesus. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Hey, I don't know. That's a man who wrote that, ladies. Moms, a man wrote that part of Scripture, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. To me, that's some pretty sensitive writing, especially as someone who writes, to think of another's perspective, to think of a woman who's exhausted from her travels and exhausted from her labor, and now looks upon the sweetness of her innocent child, and how everybody is just cooing over this child and loving this child, and in her depletion of just physical strength, exhausted, she's able to take in this great scene and cherish these things and this unspeakable joy that God has placed right in the mother's heart that she just keeps to herself, because if someone were to ask her, she wouldn't be able to come up with the words to explain it. In verse 20, the shepherds, they witness all this and they just return. Where do they return? They return back to their job. They return back to their families. They return back to their lifestyle. They return back to what they were doing. But they are changed men, right? They are radically changed men. Because now they're glorifying and they're praising God for all the things they've heard, all the things they've seen. The Messiah has been sent. A Savior has been born to us. And then all the stuff that has just been told to them. And they couldn't contain their excitement any longer. And so friends, maybe just this Christmas, in the spirit of that, just opportunities to look how we can be herald of the Word of God. You look for some opportunities to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone. What I'm finding right now, and listen, it could be just because I'm older and grumpier. I don't know. But here's what I'm finding. I'm finding that there is less and less being said about Christ and Christmas, and more being said just about Christmas or just holidays. I've been kind of face to face with that. Some of you are government employees. You work in the federal government. Many of you have sent me some things that were pushed out your direction about how to honor and celebrate, you know, the other religions that have kind of come up alongside this holiday. Even the Wiccan, which is not a religion, but the Wiccans, which don't honor the light, they actually celebrate the darkness. And you saw in your break room these posters that the government put out everywhere to honor all. And Christianity was just a small speck on the screen of a myriad of other things. I was interested in a story. Come on, how does a headline like this not captivate you? Man decapitates mannequin in state house. Okay, I got to read that. What's going on there? Okay, and if you don't know this story, I won't go too in depth with it. But a Christian man was just so fed up with the holiday displays around the state house of Iowa. Like, that's where aren't we supposed to be? Like, in that. I know it's not Bible Belt, but aren't there supposed to be some Bible things happening in Iowa? He gets so fed up with all the holiday displays, and Christianity is just one of many. He looks at a satanic memorial or something for the holidays. And he looks over at a mannequin, and he just swipes the head right off, like, we're done with this. I'm out. I can't handle it. Sometimes I feel that way, you know? I'm like, come on, why are we hijacking Christmas? And I just remember Jesus didn't come up with this. Like, he didn't go, we came up with this, and man's going to make it what they want to make it, and so I can make it what I want to make it. And I'm going to make it a Christian thing, a Christ thing, a Bible thing. I'm going to remember the words of Paul that Christ Jesus is the indescribable gift. Nothing can match Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to find some opportunities to present the gospel, because here's what I feel like right now. I feel like the world has missed out on this season, has missed out on the central message of Christ. And while they are capturing Christmas, they're not capturing the Christ of Christmas and setting aside the time and focusing on the light and what all that means. And I think I'm going to have to be a little bit more bold. I'm not going to be swiping heads off of mannequins, but I'm going to have to be a little bit more bold in sharing Christ with my non-believing family that I meet this year, and far more intentional with people that I know and recognize who are living in darkness and who need to know that the light of Christ has come in. And if I need to accompany that with some generosity, I'll do it. But more than likely, I'm going to have to accomplish that with my story and my words. Hey, let's look for some new opportunities to start some new practices. If you want to keep Christ at the center of Christmas and share the reason that we have, keep Christ at the center. My dad, he was so good at this. Even in high school, he'd come walking into our room. He did this every single Christmas. Christmas Eve, actually. And he'd say, boys, I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 2, what we just all heard Dr. David Jeremiah read to us. And I remember as a high schooler, my dad coming in Christmas Eve, late at night, we had stayed up late, and he said, boys, and he asked this question. He said, would you like for me to read to you Luke chapter 2? And because we were jerks, we said, no. Now listen, you don't say that to a Marine, okay? You don't, that's not what you say. And so he said, no, I'm gonna read it to you anyway. And he knocked our feet off the bed and he sat down and he's like, this is our tradition. You're hearing it, like it or not. By the way, you need it. That's what you need. And I had to just take that in and remember that there are some traditions that we do to keep Christ at the center that might be more of a discipline than a celebration. I got to walk into a few homes this Christmas and saw how some of you try to keep a tradition of Christ central to your family. Really good ideas. Spirit of Advent is there. I saw mantles over the fireplace that had those four candles of hope and peace and joy and love and just the celebration of what many call Advent and just remembering what Christ is and what he came to be to us. I saw others that had what are called Advent calendars. You might have one. And they weren't secularized where you open up a box or and there's toys or there's a Christmas character from the secular world behind it. But there's scripture there that helps to every day for 25 days keep the focus on Christmas. We had a group of ladies come hustling through our office just last week. Everyone's doing their business, and I'm on an interview call, by the way. And they're shouting Christmas carols and running into offices. And that was just their tradition, just to be mindful that Christ is King. We want others to know Christ is King. And maybe you take on some traditions like that. Maybe you break some old traditions. Listen, I recognize that some of the traditions we have, they're probably not for Christ. You know, there's one tradition, you might have a movie that you watch. You know, you maybe watch Die Hard every Christmas. That's a Christmas movie. Let's not argue about it. Could be that you watch Christmas Vacation. Hey, good ideas. Funny movies, right? I get it. But maybe that's the only traditions you have, and maybe you start getting some Christ traditions involved. And maybe just take your family to the nursing home, do some caroling. Just 30 minutes, 45 minutes, as long as the kids can allow. Or you just make some cookies. While baking cookies is always a tradition at your family, you share them amongst yourself, but this time you just want to cellophane some up, put them on a plate, and write a nice little note about what Christmas is all about and share them with your neighbors. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be some traditions that you can build into your Christmas over the next 8 days, and you can start practicing something new so that Christ stays central to something that has been so old in your life. Hey, how about this Christmas? More than anything else, how about this Christmas? We just received God's greatest gift, and that's Jesus. I get it, right? Like the majority of people I'm talking to, 70%+ of you are believers. You have a faith in Christ. You'd say, I already have. But there's some right now that haven't. You just haven't received Jesus. Could you imagine for a second? I don't know when you guys put away your Christmas decorations. What, January 1, something like that probably? Some are like, no way, man, I leave them up till February. Good for you. Can you imagine you start putting everything away in the tubs and boxes and you start packing it out, getting your room set back to where it always has been, and after you take down the tree, everything's put away, you kind of look down again and you notice a gift and it's beautifully wrapped and you're like, well, whose gift is this? We left behind a gift. Can you believe that? And so you look down at the label, the to and from, and it says it's to you. You're like, well, look at this. Someone, I didn't unwrap a gift. That's a good day. And you look down and it says, from God or from Dad. How about? And as you look down the from Dad, you're thinking, well, I'm perplexed by this. Like, I didn't open a gift from Dad. Like, let me just kind of figure this out. So it would just be totally irrational for you to not open that gift. I think the majority of us would say, I'm going to unwrap that gift right now, actually. Like, I'm not going to wait a second. I'm going to unwrap it. I'm so amazed by it, perplexed by it. I'm so, like, you know, just what is in this box that I've left behind and haven't figured out yet? And I don't know how many Christmases, this is my 47th Christmas. I don't know how many Christmases you've allowed to go by without receiving that gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. And you've heard it, and you've heard it explained. We've talked about it. Sometimes you want to open it, Like you're curious by it. You're curious by it. But still you just let it sit year after year, season after season, day after day. And can I tell you about this gift? Gosh, this isn't like socks, okay? This is the greatest gift that God could come up with. How many times do the scriptures tell us, by the way, in case you didn't know, this is God's one and only son. This isn't like Gabriel or Michael, who's an archangel. Got plenty of angels. This is his one and only son, and he says, I have brought my one and only son to you in pure weakness. A baby? And I've handed him over to humanity so he could experience what you all experience, what you all go through. The hurt and the pain and bleeding and sweat and acne and all the problems that we face in life and all the struggles that our bodies encounter. And I had Jesus sent to you, by the way, my one and only son to you all, so he could walk a mile in your shoes. So he could walk 200 miles in your shoes. So he could experience every temptation known to man and still be perfect. And I sent my one and only son to you, and he remained faithful to me, and he never tripped up, and he never sinned, and he remained holy. Even though you didn't do that, he did that. And guess what? He's going to lay his life down for you so you don't have to experience the hellish death that sinners have to experience when they don't have a Savior. And he sent us rescue. Now, how do you leave that gift unwrapped? How do you leave that gift unclaimed? God's greatest gift to mankind, and we won't unwrap it. And we have, friends, we just forget. We have friends and family members that we're encountering over the next 8 days. We love them. Dear God, we love them. We just don't want to be kissed by them, but we love them. And we'll be sharing meals with them. We'll be exchanging gifts with them. But will we be sharing Jesus with them? The greatest gift this Christmas. Or will we forget that too? Because we've overly focused on something else. And let's just kind of recount that there are people right now that are struggling. There are people right now that are hurting. They're going through all kinds of burdens, all kinds of stresses. And boy, how they could hear the uplifting message of Jesus. The good news that brings great joy to all the people. Because Jesus did not come to give us another holiday. He came to give you hope. He didn't come to burden your life down. He came to lift your life up. Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to console you. He didn't come to destroy you. He came to deliver you. He didn't come to rebuke you. He came to rescue you. He came to save sinners such as I. Thank God for Jesus. Father, we come to you and we are so thankful for Jesus. And we just forget, we just get focused on baby, we get focused on announcement, we get focused on all the fun stuff, and we forget the Savior of the world has come so that we can receive him. The greatest gift, the indescribable gift. And so, Father, may we lay aside our pride, may we lay aside our calendar, may we lay aside our timeline and our busyness. And may we get to focusing on you, and may we get to receiving the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus.